Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour of James, Wiggy, and Hart is brought to you by Rhino Shield.
It's James and Wiggy with Andy Hart. James, Wiggy, and Hart on Sports Radio WEEI.
Eduardo Rodriguez had a rehab outing, and you do typically, I think you do, I don't know if it was in this setting, but you do sort of a recap of the game and you have to comment on it, right?
Right, it came popped up on the screen, and because we're worried about, you know, when's he coming back, how was his first appearance, and they threw up the numbers, and I said a quick, oh, yuck. You know, just reactionary, really. It's not like I'm trying to stick it to E-Rod. Not at all. I mean, that's just, you know, but I don't, you'd have to ask, you know, the guy that got upset about what set him off, because, you know, I only go by what he said later, and then he wanted to talk to me about a month later. So, I get confused here. I don't want to sit around and talk about what I said, what I think he was mad about. It'd be like, you know, throwing stuff against the wall. I really don't know, but obviously he doesn't like my act.
Well, that was Rob Radford, one-on-one with Dennis Eckersley, the Hall of Fame relief pitcher, guy, former member of the Boston Red Sox, the Nesson broadcast team, and the story that will not go away. This is Wiggy Hart and James on WEEI. This came about yesterday because the Boston Globe, Chad Finn, did a feature on Dennis Eckersley, and Chad Finn got a quote from Eck, and he asked, obviously, about the whole situation that went down between him and David Price. And then Eckersley quoted on David Price, a quote, "I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't plan on seeing him. Never. I don't really give a expletive one way or another. I don't think he really cares one way or the other." Well, then, and this is according to Chad Finn, I'm quoting here, WEEI.com, Alex Reamer picked up the story, aggregated it, which is what done in today's media.
Yep.
And it became something that blew out of proportion, but not really as much as EI, but because of the reaction by David Price. EEI tweeted out something about this, and David Price tweeted at EEI 7, like, LOL, laughing ass off faces. And then he got a little sort of defensive about the whole situation of why this still is an act. And then David Price said, quote, "Because Eck needs attention, exclamation points. Same as every broadcast. Ha ha. 8 pitches are thrown and he's sitting there talking about something he did 30 years ago with zero mention of what's going on." Well, first of all on that, you know why, David Price? Because maybe you take 45 seconds or about a minute and a half in between,
yes,
pitches.
No question.
That Eck can talk about something that happened in the days when he was playing with Sal Bando.
If baseball broadcasts do not have guys like Eck, they're
right.
Toast. They are toast.
Eck does
they are
job
three
right.
Plus hour games,
right,
where you have a lot of time that needs to be filled with some entertainment, and Eck has a wealth of stories.
Right. Sure. He throws 3 pitches in the time it takes David Price to throw one.
Doesn't it?
Right. See, that's what I think the issue is here. There's other underlying.
Right. It's not just the yuck.
Yeah, it wasn't just yuck. There's other stuff at play here.
They don't like each other.
Right. And their styles are different. That's fine. There's, you know, I think Eck has probably evolved. My guess is Eck over the years had different sort of styles and personalities. He realized that was part of this story, this feature, which had, I think it was 3,500 words. And I actually don't even think it's out yet, right? Isn't it part of the Sunday?
It's going to be the Sunday.
This Sunday, yeah, Globe magazine.
That's right.
It'll be out, but it's out online. You can read it. You can go to EEI.com and link on over as we get involved with this story.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of layers to Eck being cocky, brash.
Yeah, but
and,
we
know,
don't see what
all of that
is weird. And I think you see David Price kind of say something about that, like where he can be like, Eck seems a little hypocritical because he brought up the Stroman thing when he, you know, he didn't.
Right. And I agree on that. That is hypocritical.
And we all are hypocritical at times.
Right. So I think the thing that David Price is looking at, and this is what that I look at, and I say, all right, well, you know what? David Price, he spoke about it, and he said he was wrong on how he handled the initial airplane thing. But you also did that, heard that clip with Eckersley and Bradfo. He said he did want to talk to me a month later.
Yes.
And then we find out from yesterday when we heard Price say, hey, listen, I reached out. I was supposed to meet with him. I wanted to apologize. I showed up a couple hours early to the ballpark. He never showed up. So Price is probably like, listen, I wanted to squash this beef with him. He, like, you know, doesn't show up. So that's basically like, you know, him sticking his middle finger up and telling me to kick rocks.
Bleep you.
Yeah. And then I continue to talk about it and continue to tell the media, hey, I made a poor decision. I was wrong initially. And then when this this comes out, he then says, you know what? I'm done talking about this, but I'm going to tell you my side of the story and why I'm so upset. And I'm on Price's side.
Well, I know you are, and that's where I think that, like, here's a guy, and you said this before, well, it doesn't matter. I got to state the whole thing. David Price, I'm giving him credit. He's the reason the Red Sox won their fourth World Series in 15 years last year. He's the real World Series MVP.
Right.
That being said, I will look at when you when it's all said and done here, whenever he leaves here in Boston and his career is over, unless he changes this trajectory. This is 2 years old, and now it's become a story after the guy already delivered a title and paid off the dividends that Dave Dombrowski and John Henry giving him $31 million a year. So my thing is this. If I'm David Price, and you're making that kind of money, and you delivered for the most voracious fan base in sports, why do you care today?
Because he's still at the at the end of it.
He's thin-skinned.
He is thin-skinned.
And he hates Boston.
And he's not a fan of Eckersley. And like he said, you know, I'm a grown-ass man, right? So when Eck says the things that he says and he takes to it and he doesn't like it with the quote that we saw when Eck's like, I don't give a bleep about it. David Price, we know he's sensitive. We know he's looking at it and go, you know what? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to defend myself.
Well, how about this?
I don't care how much money I make. You're not just going to say anything that you want and think that you can get away with it and me not respond to you. And I think that's what we've seen with David Price. But that's the business Eckersley has to learn. He should have said when he was asked about this by Chad Finn, he should have been like, listen, that's in the past. I moved on.
Well, he kind of did. I think that's where...
He threw some little nuggets.
I know, but I don't think he cares. I don't care. We've moved on, kind of thing.
Yeah,
now,
but
he said it in a way that you don't care for.
Right.
You think he put a little too much spice or a little
yum yum sauce on.
Yeah. So maybe he could have done
that
better.
A lot of yum yum sauce there.
But then you have the flip side where Price attacks him with the whole MLB documentary thing,
which is now extending the story even
further, because now people are looking into what Price said, right?
Right.
Oh, what documentary? Is it true? Is it not true?
Right.
And guess what? David Price wrong again. Correct?
Well, I don't know because I didn't see...
Well, I have a headline here.
The MLB documentary.
MLB documentary features 20 clips of six former teammates praising Eckersley, proving Price's claim...
By the way, Ken Laird, let's play David Price yesterday saying that nobody's talking nice about Dennis Eckersley on his own documentary.
The fact that he wanted to move on, and since then, he's went on the radio and talked about it, done it again. In 2017, I addressed it, told you guys in front of the camera that I wish I'd have handled it differently. I did it again in 2018 in spring training on day one, said the same thing. We had a meeting set up in 2017 here at the field, got here early, an hour and a half, 2 hours after I get here. They come and tell me that he's not coming. And we had a meeting, he backed out. I was going to tell him, you know, I apologize. I didn't handle it the right way, and it continues to come up. There's no reason for it.
Can you stop it right there? Because don't you think if Eckersley shows up right there where he says, if he shows up to this meeting, they sit down, they talk about it, they're able to hash out their differences. David Price apologizes to him and goes, listen, I'm sorry about how I handled it. Eck maybe goes, listen, I understand that, the frustration. Don't you think the relationship then changes?
It could have. It would have changed.
But Wiggy, why
does Eckersley need to seek Price out when Price and Dustin Pedroia reportedly were the ones?
I don't know who sought each other.
Dennis Eckersley from jump did nothing wrong at the beginning.
But then Price
he
knew
was
that.
An
ambushed. Right. Everybody agrees.
But Price knew that, and that's why Price, this meeting was set up, and Price goes, listen, I want to apologize.
Now,
right? So regardless if he ambushed them or not, or he's saying now, David Price, a month later, I want to meet with Eck to apologize.
What if they fight? A month later.
But listen, I'm being serious.
If he felt attacked, remember in the story originally, you know, Eckersley kind of tried to respond and he said, like, move your ass. Like, he may have felt threatened. And by the way, in this latest quote.
You really believe that, Andy?
Why not?
You really believe that?
You don't know when somebody feels threatened. I could feel threatened right now. He's staring at me.
Wiggy, let's pick up where we left off on what David Price had to say yesterday about Eckersley.
He had an unbelievable career, 25 seasons. He's a Hall of Famer. I saw his special on MLB Network. It was cool. And one thing that definitely stood out to me, he had zero former teammates in that interview. Not one. Talking about him. It was him talking about himself. If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview. I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches. They can all vouch for me. He didn't have that. And to me, that is, that's all you need to know. That tells the entire story right there. You know, my teammates will vouch for me. Coaches will vouch for me. He doesn't have that.
Okay, Mark McGwire, Bruce Hurst, Ron Darling, Jerry Remy, Fred Lynn, Ray Fosse, and his former manager who turned him into a reliever, Tony La Russa, all spoke on Eck's behalf. And not all of it was flattering.
You make it sound like they were speaking like he was a great teammate.
No, I know. And not all of it was flattering. Fred Lynn, we got, I believe, the Fred Lynn sound on that, Ken?
Hated him. He was pretty arrogant.
So, okay. All right. So now you said six people spoke on his behalf. All right. So we know one didn't like him. Now, I didn't see the special, but we probably are getting, or I would say David Price is probably getting in his ear in that clubhouse, probably saying, hey, listen, word on Eck is when Eck played, no one liked him. He was this, he was that, he wasn't well liked. You know, he was an a-hole, right? So David Price then. You know, he's getting this information from whatever minions are giving it to him. And he says, yeah, in the special, you know what? Nobody even likes Eckersley. And that's why he throws
well,
that
why,
ball.
Why do you
him.
Keep defending? I mean, I know you're a former pro athlete, but why do you defending David Price here?
Because I don't
fraternity.
Think,
yeah.
No, it's not about
it. It really is.
I didn't play Major League Baseball.
No, but you're all together.
Well, isn't Dennis Eckersley a former player?
Yeah, but for some reason you've cut ties on him.
we don't like Eck. But no, I
no, you, you're his colleague at Nesson.
I like Eck. I love Eck. I have no problem with Eckersley. I think when I look at the situation, right, and I'm evaluating the situation as a complete observer, objective observer, I feel like this. David Price was wrong in the beginning, but then he wanted to apologize. And Eck didn't want to meet with him for whatever reason. And then this thing fostered and Ling, and then Price kept saying, I was wrong. And now we get this from yesterday from David Price going, listen, I was wrong about the situation. I've been remorseful about it. It all comes down to people not liking David Price because of all the other stuff, and that's why
Wiggy,
because if it was Chris Sale, everybody would be like.
So are you implying because Chris Sale's white?
No, it has nothing to do with it.
Okay, so what I'm saying
is, if it was Mookie Betts, no one would have an issue with it.
Okay, David Price has been a bag, to be nice, since he's been here. The way he's handled the media,
So that's the perception of it.
So it's the reality.
Oh, but the perception of this situation of him wanting to apologize. Andy Hart said this earlier, right?
It was very good.
If Eckersley goes, I tried to talk to Price a month after that, and I showed up to the ballpark, and he come to find out he doesn't want to talk to me. Are we not ripping David Price because he doesn't show up? He doesn't
Correct.
Have to sit down with him.
But now, when
Price says I showed up and he doesn't, everybody's like, well, you know, he can't show up. What if he's feeling threatened? What if it's a hostile situation? Now it's
Can you blame him after being ambushed
Are
outside the team? No, but can you blame him with the way he was?
A month later, he wants to sit down. Right? If, like I said, if the roles were reversed, we would be killing David Price because we don't like David Price because of some of the things that he said.
Here's the one thing, and this was just a quote, and I'm paraphrasing here, but David Price came out when this incident initially happened 2 years ago and said something to the extent of, you know, some people just don't understand how tough it is these days and what it's like to be, you know, a pitcher in baseball. And basically, talking about Eck pitched a quarter of a century in Major League Baseball.
He pitched 30 years ago. No, that's like
so,
saying
so, so what?
That, that's
so
like,
what?
That's like that's like
so
me.
Would that take
like,
away?
No, no. That's like me.
So the Magic and Bird.
No, no. But that's like me talking about guys who play right now. And a guy goes, well, he doesn't know what it's like. Of course I don't know what it's like. I played 15 or whatever how many years ago, 10 years ago, the game has changed. And so when you think about the last time Eck pitched, it's 25, how many, 30
okay,
years ago.
Okay, fair enough.
So the game is completely different
I understand.
For
but,
David
but,
Price.
But don't say that he doesn't know it. He pitched a quarter of a century. He
right.
won a Cy Young.
He won
a World Series. He's done things that he's already enshrined in Cooperstown. He had his best friend on the Cleveland Indians sleep and basically steal his wife.
Right.
His brother was involved in an incident in something.
But what does that have to do with baseball?
But he's
right. Let's just stick to baseball.
No, no. Right. Okay,
baseball, he was a starter. He was
right.
traded.
He's the
he was bottoming
best.
Out. He had no juice in his arm. He became
right.
a closer.
Right.
He had highs. He had
he's
lows.
The
he gave up the most historical
relief.
Run in the modern
right.
era.
He's the second best relief pitcher in baseball
okay.
history.
Okay.
So what's your point? Like
30 years
but that's,
ago.
See,
but,
that's the highs. He
right.
saw the lows, too.
Right.
He dealt with stress.
But
in
David, now I know
but
it's
in
a different
David
world.
Price's world. In David Price's world that he's playing, it's a different era for what Eckersley saw. He said, David Price said, he was a great pitcher. But it's completely different. It's no different than me saying, oh, man, these guys got it easy nowadays in the NFL. Right? They got it easy because of training camp and the
right.
practice schedule.
But you can say that. You have that cachet to be able to say that.
But they'll look at it and go, listen, you might think it's easier, but we deal with a lot more stuff
yeah,
because
social,
of
yeah, social
whatever
media,
it may
whatever.
Be.
Okay.
It's a different era. That's
fair
all
enough.
I'm saying.
All right, let's grab some phone calls on this. Who's Cy Young, Eckersley, or Price? 617-779-7937. Eck all the way for me.
And it's not a racial thing, is it, Wiggy?
Wiggy
because we got to tiptoe that line, too, because people
yeah,
are going to
well,
be like,
I mean,
white hosts are back in Eckersley.
Well,
No, Wiggy.
Right? Oh, you're saying, is it a racial issue for
no,
the
no,
or
not,
the hosts
in
our support
no.
of the...
Wiggy's one of the only people on an island back in David Price, so kudo, like, forget Wiggy. He's well, the one... No, he's one of the guys that,
yeah,
like, absolutely back. And your colleague at Nesson is Dennis Eckersley. Let's
right,
go to Mike.
I have no issue with Eck.
Mike and
but
friend
I'm back
him.
In Price.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, somebody was saying before, like, oh, yeah, Price, you know, he shouldn't be bothered by when people talk trash. I remember, like, I forget when it was, but Eckersley freaked out when they were, first off, they wouldn't even say anything bad about him on EEI, and he called up, and he went ballistic.
Yeah.
Oh,
wasn't that
go.
With Dick Raddatz?
I don't know.
Remember
when
there was
yes.
that old call, and yeah, they got into a thing, and he called in. I forgot the exact details,
Dick
but
Raddatz.
He was
Andy Hart put all a Dick Raddatz reference. That's pretty impressive, Andy.
But, so he should know better. Like, David Price is sensitive. I was saying, I got to be careful on how I word things. Right. If you got Eckersley
meow.
Calling, if you got like Mike says, if you got Eckersley calling in radio shows,
well, that was one time. Mike,
you are beyond your game.
That's it right there. That's Eck calling in, swearing.
You old yeah. bastards got a lot of nerve.
Wow.
Dick Raddatz.
They didn't say anything personal
really?
Either about Eckersley either. They were talking. I guess they were talking about like how like relievers are nowadays as opposed to the old days, and he freaked out.
Right.
See?
Okay. All right. Fair enough, perspective.
That's why I said that.
But he never, the one thing, Wiggy, you can never get over this is that Eckersley never, like, went up to Mari or a current player or whatever while he was playing and attacked him or a
well,
former player.
But that's
know.
Details. He called in and attacked
right.
a former player.
Right. Just,
so he had that opportunity and he chose
the same,
to use
he
it.
He did the same thing that David Price did, just in a different setting.
All right. Brian and Pembroke, you're up next. What's up, Brian?
I have hated David Price since the Red Sox signed him. I hated him after the World Series with the Trump card crap. And here's the thing, guys. When you make a mistake and you wrong somebody, you're the one who needs to seek out that person. Why is he waiting on Eck to come find him?
Well, we don't know that. Brian, we don't, Brian,
apologize.
Brian, we don't know that. All we know is that there was a meeting set up. Maybe Price could have been the one that initiated it. All we know that there was a meeting set up and Eck decided not to show up.
But Wiggy, a meeting was set up. It doesn't need to be a meeting.
I know.
Go find the guy. I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that's what it. That's what,
right.
that's what it was. Like, hey, Eck, I'd love to meet you at the stadium. I'll be here a little bit early. When I mean a meeting, I don't mean actually in a conference room. All we know is that Price said there was a sit down or a opportunity for them to talk so he can apologize. And Eck decided not to show up.
Hey, here's the difference.
It's like Brian said, was the first thing he said. I hate David Price.
Here's the difference. Let me just say this. Do you see Clayton Kershaw? Do you see Christian Yelich, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo? Do you see Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton having issues with John Sterling or Michael Kay? No, they're not.
I don't know. I don't follow.
You know why?
Them deeply enough to know. I don't live in New York.
But we would know if there were. The bottom line is this is a David Price issue.
How many people outside of Boston really know about David Price and Dennis Eckersley issue?
Oh, this is it became a national story a couple years ago. No,
I don't think this is a national story.
But oh, it did a couple years ago.
You can't compare one player to the other players based on how they handle things.
Or the broadcasters. I'm not sure John Sterling goes yuck about anything in the Yankees.
Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling are very critical of the Mets.
Yes. So who knows if they ever had a situation with former
Mets
players? Right, so you can't compare guys. You can't go like everybody goes, oh, like they did it with Kyrie Irving this year. Well, Chara's a great leader. Why can't Kyrie? Well, Chara's been here. He's almost 40 years. He's 40-something years old. Kyrie's 26. Chara's been here forever. You cannot compare players because every player is wired differently.
All right, we'll continue to take your phone calls on this. Husad Yan, Ecker Price, 617-779.
Where are my Price fans at? There's got to be one out there.
93-7. Nobody's on Price's side.
Wiggy Island. You're
a Wiggy Island by yourself. But first, we have a trending with Ken Laird.
The home of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick every Patriots Monday. Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Fourth major is underway in Northern Ireland. This is golf now, Wiggy.
Okay.
Top of the morning, they play four days.
Tiger Woods.
4 days.
Not yet.
No Tiger day yet. One. Day no one. Tiger yet. Tiger tees off at 10-10. But
I want Tiger.
An 8 on the first hole for Rory, the betting favorite. He has stabilized a bit. He's 3 over through 10, but still well off the lead. 4 under par. Have you ever heard of Shane Lowry, an Irishman, or Dylan Fratelli from South Africa? Those two share the lead.
Nope.
Fratelli. Now 4 under par.
Sounds like he's not from Italy? Fratelli?
Sounds like it. Red Sox hung on for a 5-4 win over the Blue Jays last night. Couple of tough moments late. Bullpen hung on. Though the bullpen, how about 45 pitches
Did you see Barnes was in there?
He was good early.
They were trying to blow it, Ken.
And they somehow found a way to win, thanks to Rafael Devers, who had an extra RBI in the eighth to give them a cushion. They needed it. Also, a homer, a two-run double. 25 RBIs against the Jays this year. Erod with win number 11. Getaway day today. You've got Loomer Loading joining Joe Castiglione and Dale Arnold for the call. Chris Sale day. A lot of Chris Sale talk yesterday. Big spot.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
Could it be the fourth straight
Chris
game?
Frill?
No, he's going to be fine. He had a group intervention out at the bullpen.
Okay.
Everything's fixed.
Did you see most of the guys were looking out at the field?
So will this be the fourth straight game that Chris Sale allows five runs?
No.
I'll take the under.
What are you calling him?
Frail. Three Frill. Runs,
well,
10
pretty
Ks.
Soon, Wiggy's going to, like I said, sometimes you take the R way, it's Chris Fail because he's failing.
Okay.
Three starts for Sale before the trade deadline. So this could make the decision for them, buyers or sellers. Eovaldi expected to be ready for the weekend. Alex Cora was informing OMF yesterday afternoon.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rehab today and could be back by the weekend.
Well, it's about time.
Soon to get his first career save.
That would be like two weeks after the All-Star break?
It's
been nearly over a month since they announced it.
Yeah, but they said he'll be back sometime after the All-Star break. They gave us no time.
The end of the season is sometime after the All-Star break.
Right. Hey, we didn't give you a date.
By the way, you do know he does not want to come out of the pen. You do know that, right? He wants to be a starter.
Did you talk to him?
No, that's what the reports are. Like, he signed to be a starter, not coming out as a reliever. So we'll see how this works out. The season's been going so well so far.
And Danny Ainge unveiled Plan A yesterday. Kemba Walker and Enos Kanter, numbers 8 and 11.
Oh, you just said it. You just pulled the mutt.
I said Enos, not Anus. Is it Enos?
It's Enos.
As long as it's not Anus.
Mutt did the anus.
So that was Plan A.
Excuse me.
That's what Ainge said. Now, Chris Broussard was on this morning on, was it FS1?
Stop.
Yep.
Just stop.
Don't even say.
Everything he says is absolutely
erroneous. He was mocking
Ainge. He
said it was Plan J. He went through plans A through D.
Chris Broussard is the most incompetent reporter in basketball history. Just stop.
Wow.
Let's get Broussard on. By the way, when they announced the biggest losers on awful announcing on the Kawhi Leonard, he was number one. Everything he said was wrong. He had LeBron. When LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami, he said he was going to Chicago. He is he's a joke.
I think they were all wrong on Kawhi.
Well, Wojnarowski wasn't.
Well, Woj didn't. I don't think Woj had a story out there beforehand.
Well, but here's the
about
thing.
Him going there.
It's Polish power. It's Polish power, Wiggy. You just give him to just do.
Okay. You go, Woj.
Whose side are you on, Price or Eck? More of Wiggy, James, and Hart coming up.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So talk to me a little bit about how, like you said, the evolution of since it happened, what it's been like for you.
Well, I think it was difficult the first, because I was on that road trip. That was the first game of that road trip. So that was difficult, those 10 days on that road, you know, trying to not, you know, have it, have anything to do with your broadcast. You know, I mean, you're only human, you know, and especially, you know, when he had to pitch. I think he pitched.
Which was in Texas.
Yeah, a couple times. He pitched in Tampa, too.
Yeah,
so, and that didn't take anything away. I'm just doing the games and then calling it like I see it. And sometimes people don't like the way you call it and see it. I guess I don't know what to say.
Oh, Bradfoe's show.
Bradfoe should have said, like, the same way you didn't like when people called it and seen it differently.
Dick Raddatz and Rico Petrocelli.
Right. There's definitely a generational divide in all of these.
There is.
That's a good point. The old-timers calling out the young guys. I also, somebody texted me this, and it's an interesting question. If Eckersley perceives this supposed meeting, this apology session, whatever, does he perceive it as genuine or PR? Like, this guy ambushed me and put on a show on the plane.
And Wiggy, don't forget, too, after this all happened, like, to the media, David Price was completely disingenuous about being remorseful towards what happened.
Right. So if Eck thinks it's a horse and pony show,
why
not just say, screw you. You were a jerk. I know you were a jerk. I've moved on. You can move on, too. But I'm not going to waste my time with some fake apology.
Well, it depends. Sometimes people, you know, it takes them a minute to realize their wrongs, you know. And so maybe a initially, Price didn't realize it, and as time grew, he's like, "Yeah, you know what? I was kind of a dink about
that." Here's the thing,
he should have realized it at the time.
Yeah, that's
he attacked the guy.
But you know what? I think that also plays into the generational thing and the environments that they come from.
I attack you, I'll know I'm attacking.
But I might attack you, and you might feel attacked, but I might not feel like I was attacking you. Because it's just that
I don't know. When you tell a guy, like, somebody tries to respond, you tell him, move your ass on or something, you know you're being a jerk to that guy. And you know you're doing it in front of a large group. There was like a bully mentality to that. They had the broadcaster in front of the whole team in an enclosed environment, and they took advantage.
Right.
They bullied him.
617,
just a case of bullying.
Part of the job.
Well, we'll get to that. 617-779-7937. Hey, coming up next segment, not now, next segment, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Sox and Yankees next Thursday.
And Price.
and a parking pass for the Prudential Center Garage during Free Ticket Thursday. That's coming up next segment. Mike in a car. I'll get to all these people want to get in. 617-779-7937. Want to chime in on the Price Eckersley saga, the sequel. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning, guys. See, I'm with, I don't care about Price and Eckersley, but if I had to take a side, I'm on Price's side. I don't give a crap if an announcer who talks into a microphone gets bullied on a team plane when it has absolutely nothing to do with how the team performs. The fact that this story is still around and you have Chad Finn basically filleting David Price and giving a so-so quet to Darius Eckersley, fans don't give a crap about this.
Well, they actually do, Mike. They actually do care.
Eckersley has no impact on this team, Mark James.
Yes, he does.
He's
part of every broadcast. He's part of the entertainment.
Well, Mike's saying he's not part of the actual outcome.
No, he isn't, but it's about part of the entertainment package.
Do you think fans give a crap about who speaks into them? They don't.
Well, they do. You're wrong. Do you remember when Don Orsillo left and it was the talk of the season?
Hey, Mike.
You're dead wrong. Mike,
Let me just say this. There are two guys over the course of the last 5 years who left their positions, as Andy just mentioned, Don Orsillo and, unfortunately, Jerry Callahan. And I will tell you, no stories have gotten more clicks or more attention on TV. Yeah. So don't tell me people don't care, Mike, because they do care.
Reading about something for interest doesn't have any impact on the team.
It doesn't, but you just said people don't care, Mike.
No
people
one
do
said,
care.
No one said it had an impact on the team. You said people don't care.
People hate the Boston media.
That's
you
not true.
Try to make yourselves part of the story.
No, we
talk
don't.
About the freaking wins and losses. Chris
and
Sale
we do it all the time. We do it all the time. Now, but this is a side
you
story.
You do not have an... You do not have an impact on how this team performs.
I get
no
that.
One said we do.
Oh, Mike, I got
I hate Mike.
Mike,
I just want to be clear.
No.
The things I hate, Mike is on the list.
No. Hey, listen. I love the you know, like the back and forth is just fine, but it's like Mike.
No, there was no back and forth. It was just his opinion that he didn't want to waver on.
No,
and he's dead wrong.
Nobody said nobody in this room on this station said what people say on the air affects the on-the-field or on-the-court product. Nobody said that, Mike.
Who would ever say that?
But right. People do
a media
care.
Circus.
People
well,
do care.
I,
right.
I think what I don't know if they necessarily, if care is the right word. I think they are entertained.
They're interested.
By it.
Whatever
they're entertained
semantics.
By it. Yeah, so.
They're interested.
Because that's what this is, by the way. It's competition, but I've said this a million. It's also entertainment.
Yeah.
It's right. People trying to be entertained.
Right.
Paul
I think it's more the entertainment.
He's up
factor.
Next in a car. Hey, Paul.
Clickbait City.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. My take is a little calmer than your last gentleman who called. I'm old enough that I remember when ball players still worked second jobs. So when you bring up like Dick Raddatz and Rico Petrocelli, that was kind of the tail end of when there was still some humility and humbleness to the game. In my opinion, David Price is narcissistic, the personality disorder. And he can't keep his mouth shut. Dennis Eckersley, in my opinion, is a class act who did absolutely nothing wrong. All David Price had to do was say, you know something? I made a mistake. I owe Eck an apology. And it's over. It's just so blown out of proportion.
He tried to do it. Paul, he tried to do that, but Eckersley didn't want to show up.
He probably invited cameras, too, to the meeting.
I mean, we don't
wanted
know
to make
that.
Sure it was on tape.
By the way, Wiggy, why should he show up? Price should seek him out.
Yeah, ambush me with an apology like he ambushed me the first time.
Right.
But how do we know there has been nothing out there that says that Price didn't seek out Eckersley?
He could find him.
It's not hard to find.
You can go on the base. They still ride on the same plane.
Right. But he wanted to do
it. So ambush him with an apology.
He wanted to do it.
Oh, wait. He wanted to be in private with the apology, but he wanted to be public when he ambushed him.
So he said to whoever, hey, listen, tell Eck I want to meet with him at the state, at the field, a couple hours before the game.
I need some good PR, so I'm going to apologize. I know I ambushed him, and I probably feel like I should have ambushed him.
Just meet with the guy.
Andy.
And this story's over.
Andy, you would like this. I know Chris Kerr's not a big fan. I got to read this. Andy would love this. One sounds like this is from the text line, not from me. Sounds
not
like
supposed to read in the text line.
It sounds like Mike's wife left him for a radio media TV personality.
It's very possible.
I don't know.
He's got something against the media.
Like it was just like Mike. I mean, I get we don't have an impact on the games that matter. We understand that, but
the media sucks.
Don't say that people don't care because we're having this conversation 2 years after the fact that this incident happened because people are still interested in it.
It took off on Twitter. It took off on websites. It's taking off with the phone calls.
And it's David Price, and people don't like David
Price.
Correct.
Right.
So anytime
and people love Dennis Eckersley.
Which, by the way, there's reason to I don't think Eckersley is the most humble person that ever walked the planet.
There's no, like, anybody who goes, oh, he's a class act, he's this, he's that. Clearly, they didn't see him pitch. They didn't really know about him.
Nobody's perfect. He's got his barbs.
I will tell you, when Eckersley, a couple weeks ago, went after Marcus Stroman for show, but I will tell you, and I love Eck, personally and professionally, I thought that was extremely hypocritical. Because, you go back and you saw him, the thrusting of his hips, and then, the pointing after he would strike someone out, Eckersley, Marcus Stroman is docile compared to what Eck used to be with Oakland.
Right.
Which is actually good for baseball. That's a different topic for a different day, but that's actually good for baseball.
All right,
let me add one more layer real quick, because Wiggy poo-pooed my thing of their, any threat of physical violence.
Yes.
But I want to read you part of yesterday's quotes from David Price, and you tell me if the idea of physicality isn't in this quote.
when he says, we're two men, we can meet.
Yep.
Ain't nothing going to happen. They're right there, there's
happen.
The implication that
he's
at least somebody's thinking
not
maybe something could happen.
No, no, he's
maybe we could go to blows.
He's probably trying to put Eck's mind at ease.
Because
like,
he knows Eck has reason to fear for his life because he was ambushed on a plane.
No, because he knows Eck's an older gentleman. And he's probably like, hey, Eck, listen, ain't nothing going to happen. Ain't going to throw no blows. You ain't got to worry about that.
Why are you saying that if it's not a thought?
What?
Why is Price saying that if it's not a thought?
Because Eck
so he's
probably,
thought of hitting him.
Well, no, maybe Eck maybe. In his mind is like, oh, my God, I'm scared. I get this guy who's
you think Eck
him.
Is scared of
I don't
David
know.
Price? Come on now.
I mean, Eck's what? How old is Eck?
I don't care. Look at him. He's
Price,
a badass.
Yeah, Price is a young man.
All right.
He
all
does
right,
wear
a
I
mouth
will continue
guard, though,
this on the other side. I'll get to, we'll get to all your phone calls on the Eck Price. Excuse me. Yeah, the Eck Price drama. I was about to put Wiggy in there, but Wiggy, no. You're siding with a Price, but you're not part of the drama.
One of the few.
And we'll give you a chance. We will give you a chance coming up next segment to win a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox and Yankees next Thursday and a parking pass, which is huge goal these days, to go see that in the Prudential Center garage during Free Ticket Thursday. That will all be coming up next right here on W.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, ninth caller right now to 617-931-0937 wins a pair of tickets at 617-931-0937. Listen to the number. You win a pair of tickets to see Red Sox-Yankees next Thursday, the 25th, and a parking pass for the Prudential Center Garage during Free Ticket Thursday. You can qualify for a $50 Red Sox team store gift card brought to you by all the fine folks at Town Fair Tire. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody, Wiggy. That's the ninth caller right now, 617-931-0937 to win tickets during Free Ticket Thursday. And folks, that is the that's Red Sox Yankees there. I mean, that's you know, that's not the quadruple A Orioles. That's a really good series. So that's a really good game next Thursday. Let's see if the Red Sox, who are 1-6 so far on the season against the Bronx Bombers. So let's see if the Sox can turn that
that's
around.
That's on the Tampa series is before that, right?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, so that's the stretch right there that
that's
everybody's
the
talking
stretch.
About.
Buyer or seller?
I think right now Porcello and Cashner are set to start the first two games of that series, which doesn't sound great.
Oh,
no,
yeah, against Murderer's Row. Woo-hoo. There you go. So Wiggy, after this Toronto series, the Red Sox have three against Baltimore,
right.
And then you mentioned so next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they're down in St. Pete, beautiful St. Pete. Not far from Clearwater Beach, for three against the Rays. Then the Yankees come in for four, and then the Rays come in again after that for three, and then they go on the road to face the Yankees. So it goes Rays, Yankees, Rays, Yankees. Then we'll find out, but we'll know by basically August 4th.
Don't we already know?
We do know.
Yeah, we kind
we,
of
we
know.
And it's sell, sell, sell. I that's where I'm not.
Pete Abraham agrees with you.
Yeah, well.
He wrote it today. He wrote that quote, that Price is a member of a team that should get blown up at the trade deadline if they don't start playing better right away.
Truer words have never been written from Pete Abe's pen or computer.
Yeah, he's
I would
right.
say typewriter.
Yeah, yeah, not typewriter. Even,
you know, well, keyboard.
2019.
617 typewriter.
Yeah, 7937. Still using a typewriter.
No, like when people would say "hot off the press," right. like yeah.
And now it's probably voice to text. So
that's yeah. right. Hey, John, let's go back to the phones. People want to chime in on the Price versus Eckersley drama. John and Gardner, you're up next. Hey, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you all doing?
Good. Great.
Good. Hey, Wiggy, by the way, what were the five words you wrote down with your crayon the other day?
White lightning and Black Panther.
Bingo. And I like the way you put the top billing there. That's
yes, right. Thing. I put White Lightning first.
And I got a quiz for you all three. I think you know this, but you guys know who Dick Radich used to do the radio show with, right? It was before my time. I never listened to it, but...
Johnny Moser.
No, Larry Johnson, right?
Craig and Larry.
Yeah. And Mustard and Johnson.
I think part of the time they might have had Eddie Andelman with them too, but definitely the Radish did a show.
And
with,
was that
Craig.
Before Larry Johnson would mispronounce Kawhi Leonard's first name? Oh, called Cowie.
No, that's a cheap shot.
I wasn't
shot.
Listening back then. I must admit. Right,
Cowie Leonard.
I don't think anybody in the NBA was named Kawhi back then.
No.
Listen, I like Eckersley a lot. I don't like David Price. However. And I identify with Eck, by the way. He's like a few months older than me, and I had my last drink a few months before him. So I identify with him a lot. And Price, I'm not real thrilled with. But I wish Eck took, you know, just declined to speak to Chad Finn about it and said, hey, you know, that's in the past. Let's let it go. And now you get Price feeding in on the other, and they're both keeping it alive. So I'd say they're both wrong. But you know what the bottom line with David Price to me is, kind of reminds me of Curt Schilling, who, by the way, he was co-hosting one time, and we had a very pleasant conversation. The boys were good enough to put me on with them. And my thing to him was like, Curt, why do you have to weigh in on everything? Sometimes it's just best to not weigh in. The world doesn't need to hear your opinion about every little thing. Now, in the Price thing here, it's in his backyard. It's about him, so I can see him weighing in on it. But by the same token, I wish he was smart enough to say, you know, I'm not going to win this. Why don't I just decline and move on? You know what I mean? And guys making $31 million a year, I can't identify with that. I also can't identify with people interrupting your dinner and being a pain in the neck because you're famous. You know, Elvis had to rent the whole movie theater to go to the movies because he was such a big star. So I can't identify with that. But I want our athletes out there to just try to identify a little bit with the little guy that's out there that's a fan that just wants to enjoy the ball game. And, yes, get into talk radio or whatever you have, but he just doesn't seem to have that ability to see the other side
oh,
of
no,
it.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
Well,
Price no
is
limit.
Cut from a different cloth,
yeah.
but I think when you look at it, it is about if Eck just goes, you know what, because he knows this situation could potentially get ugly, right? It's not like they asked him about, you know, his teammate taking his wife or something like that. He knows dealing with Price is being very sensitive. He knows if I say something, there's a chance that this thing could get ugly and or could rear its ugly head again. Let me just say to Chad, you know what? Hey, that's in the past. I'm not really talking about that.
But that's not how X made.
Right.
X made it.
Oh, so then you got to got to take some of the blame.
All right, fair enough. Steve in a truck. You're up next. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Hello. Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up?
Hey, Rick. How are you?
What's going on?
Your former coach from East Boston U Hockey. How's everything going?
I'm good.
Listen, I gotta understand something here. I really usually side in with you on everything, Rick, but this is going above and beyond with this. David Price, he's sensitive. He's making $31 million a year. If you're sensitive, get the hell out of Boston. You knew what it was before you came here. That's a bunch of crap. He was the one that initiated this first. And as far as Eck goes, I listened to that whole conversation with Dick Lattice, Petroselli that day, and what happened was Lattice said that he didn't deserve the MVP that year for being the closer. And that's when Eck called up and said to him, you're an old bastard. He goes, how can you talk like that? Because you used to come in the fourth and fifth inning and pitch to the end of the game. It's a different situation now. Pitchers are different. You never had pitch counts in the 60s and 70s. I was around that when Yaz played and Tigliano and all that. They didn't have pitch counts. The guy pitched. He pitched for nine innings or the reliever came in when he was pitching, like, you know, terrible over 15, and he calls out the game from there. This is all different now, and you should know that, David Price. He's too sensitive. You know, he's got to have a little thicker skin around here.
But not everybody. But
for him to chastise a guy like Eckersley,
number one, is in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to tell you something. David Price will never be in the Hall of Fame, and he can't carry Eckersley's job. And if Eckersley was 20 years younger, he'd have punched his lights out. And you know what? I think he can still do it. I don't
Hey, Steve, I wouldn't bet against Eck right now. I can tell you that much.
But see, I think that it's different, though, right? Because the game has changed. I mean, you can't have the approach like, because I'm a fan of a certain era, you know, I'm a fan of like, you know, mid 80s, late 80s, early 90s basketball. You got to understand that the game has changed, right? So if you're somebody and you're like doing a broadcast in Eckersley's situation, he's got to understand that the game has changed. The same way I understand the game has changed in football. And I'm not that far removed from it, but it's changed in how you view it and how maybe you give your opinion on it. You got to understand it's completely different than when you played.
And doesn't David Price have to understand what your former hockey coach just said? He came to Boston. He chose to come to Boston.
Right, but I don't think anybody really knows, though.
He took the money.
I don't think anybody...
You don't think he ever heard...
Right, but I don't know how...
John Lackey. You don't think there's ever players talking about...
I think players talk about...
When you go in the clubhouse, there's like 40 dudes standing around just waiting for you to say something stupid.
I think they players talk like that, but you don't go in there thinking about... You know, when you sign that contract, you're like, all right, I'm getting a ton of money. You don't go in there thinking like, you know what? What about those 40 dudes? What are they going to write? That's something that you don't...
You should.
You don't have in your mind.
You're an adult. That's a big decision. You weigh the pros and cons. You can go play in Tampa, and nobody will really pay attention. Nobody will care. It might not be $30 million you're collecting. You might only collect 25.
It is differently.
They don't pay down in there.
It is different
to
play out here. I will give.
Well,
you
he took it. He chose it.
And Wiggy, it's the whole. It's all encompassing. It's part of the package that you get when you come here.
I think you understand that, and then how you respond to that.
Well, and he hasn't responded well. No, whine and bitch and tweet.
Well, that's his response.
Ambush some old coot on a plane.
But that's his response. Same way, like you said, you got to understand how it is. You got to understand what his response might be.
All right, let's grab Dave in Stoughton. What's up, Dave?
Hi. I just want to know, you know, I can't understand how players, you know, today are such divas because, you know, you're making so much money. Which ridiculous amount of money, you have to be a professional. And when a broadcaster says something negative about you, you just got to prove them wrong and do a better job and shut up. Now, Wiggy, this is directed at you.
Mm-hmm.
When you were playing ball, was there that many divas playing when you played ball like there is today?
There was plenty of divas when I played, and there were plenty of divas well before I played.
Right.
So, I mean, like, there have been guys like this, or, you know, you think about Michael Irvin. He was before me. I bet he was a big diva. Lawrence Taylor, same way. I mean, so, like, the whole thing, like, this is new. It's been like this for generations.
But Eck was just trying to do his job. If you're having a crappy game, what is he supposed to go? Oh, well, he's having a crappy game.
No, you could be critical. You could be critical about players.
Criticism.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Eck being critical about players or giving his
Price does clearly.
Right, but like you said, you have to realize that every player is going to handle it differently. So there might be backlash to you being critical about a certain player.
Right, but which one is okay? Which more? I mean,
he doesn't like my act.
Right. But see, that's where I think even Eck does himself a disservice. I don't think it's an act. Eck tells you what he thinks.
He does. Right.
If he thinks something's yuck, he says yuck.
He's brutally honest, man.
There's nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem with
that. If you're going to be measured, when people hear somebody on the radio or on TV, an ex-athlete who's measured, they always say, oh, he wants to get back in the game. Or he doesn't want to piss off his friends. Or that guy wants to manage someday, so that's why he's not saying anything.
Well, that was one of the reasons why they just had a report. I don't know how true it is that Peyton Manning didn't want to do Monday Night Football.
Right.
He didn't want to be critical of his brother and other people.
Chris Sale.
There's also a part of me that believes that I don't think Peyton Manning wanted the criticism that Jason Witten got.
Right.
I think Manning would have been good, but I don't think he wanted, like, Jason Witten was, it was terrible. It was awful.
That becomes part of it. I mean, I know better, you know, than anybody else. I mean, I almost got into a fight with one of my former teammates because I said something that he didn't agree with.
Do I know this story?
Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I thought it was a Patriot.
No. So I understand. And now Steve Smith probably deals with it the same way because he's now in the media as well. And he's very critical.
Did you see what he said about Josh Rosen?
Yeah.
He went off on draft night on Josh Rosen.
So you got to learn in this business that you're going to be critical.
But here's
the thing. And you might run into those people.
Here's the thing.
you, and I just got to say this because you put David Price in the same breath as Lawrence Taylor and Michael Irvin.
No, he's I didn't put him in the same breath. I just said there were, he asked me where the divas
were. Oh, yeah, there were divas.
Yeah, so sure. I mean, those
There's
guys,
always been divas.
Right.
Yeah, so but even think back to like
Dion, you know, was it primetime.
But go back further than that, like cliche, you know, captain of the football team in the 1950s wearing his letter jacket. He was that generation's diva thinking he owns the school and he can leave what he wants, do what he wants, and nobody should question him.
Just because they work second jobs didn't mean they didn't
still feel
divas. They didn't still feel like they were entitled because they played a professional sport.
I just, like, let me ask you this. Like, what would you say if you and David Price were having a couple beers together and no one was there? Mm-hmm. You were born and raised here, Wiggy. You won a Super Bowl, the first one with Tom Brady and the Patriots. What would you say to him, like, hey, David, you need to do this. You need not to do that. What would you say to him just to say, like,
I would be like, listen, dude. I'd be like, listen, I know there's some morons around here and they're going to get on your nerves. They're going to say some dumbish. But you know what? Don't take it personal. I know you're from a different cut, but listen, don't take it personal. But hey, if it does bother you and they do come out of their neck sideways at you, fire back.
Really?
Okay. Why'd you have to call them morons?
Well, because there are morons.
There are some.
Yeah, so I said that.
Is Eckersley a moron?
I said there are some morons.
Are we morons right now? We're talking about sports. Are we all morons?
Well, no,
Eckersley's not
morons.
A moron.
I said there are some morons that might be, maybe X not in that category. I'm not saying X a moron. But at times, Mark James, you could be a moron.
Well, I know that.
Right, so there are some morons.
But I mean, this is not me versus Dave Price. This is Zach versus
David. But you asked me what I would say to him.
Right.
I would say, yeah, there are some morons in the media that you're going to have to deal with.
Generally, players, when you were in the locker room, the people that came in as reporters, was there a presumption that they were all morons?
Yes. Every single one that stepped in that locker room.
I appreciate
would be
that.
Like, everyone that stepped in that locker room, oh, not these losers again. Really? Hey,
Mike Reese a moron?
Everybody that stepped in the
locker room. I knew it would be.
Everybody
that's sticking by it.
Everybody stepped in the locker room.
We can usually double down.
Why do you think there were so many players that when you're in the locker room, there was always, you know, probably more than half that somehow made that they put the players' lounge separate from the locker room so you could kind of finagle, or they would always be hanging in the training room?
Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Just talk about that.
Because they don't want it, you know. That's kind of the way players look at people in the media. Like,
and then they join the media afterwards. Right, and become a moron.
You feel like you filled up the bucket.
We're parasites,
and they become morons afterwards.
All right, coming up next, the percentage. We talked yesterday, Mike Florio, about his sources that it was 40%. Well, guess what? That thing went up substantially because there's another source who went on record on a show talking about the Gronk unretirement thing. We'll get into that and some other football stuff.
I got him at 94%.
Well, you're low now.
Only went down because
Mike Florio said that 95 is
still low. Somebody is playing the game and they're one-upping you.
Oh, wow.
Somebody's way one-upping you. We'll get to that next right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.